Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Our mission is to make analytics practical. This is not about abstract theory, but to share true stories of how using analytics helps real-life businesses with real-life constraints make the best possible decisions to compete, grow, and thrive. I'm your host, A.G. Tan. My guest today is notable for being one, in fact, the only one surviving alpha of Qubit. In August 2010, Qubit made the decision to start creating a farm system to hire young people early in their careers or straight out of college and to provide them with the training and the support that they needed to become top-notch consultants. And so I'm so happy to have Mike Burke with me today, who was one of that original alpha class and who has now grown to be one of our most sought after implementation managers and mentors and experts at Qubit. Welcome, Mike Burke.
Thanks, AG. Glad to be here.
So Mike, it seems as though data issues are popping up as a growing challenge on many of our client projects. I think it's a consequence of the finance and business folks, as opposed to the IT folks, looking for more planning agility and the ability to plan more collaboratively with other functions and at greater and greater levels of detail, but not necessarily having had much experience with creating data strategies and data management practices. Now, you're much more on the front lines than me these days. So does this hypothesis hold water? What do you think is going on?
Yeah, I think it does, AG. Data issues, you know, as a general challenge is pretty prevalent in a lot of our projects. In fact, it's probably one of the most prevalent. There's a lot of considerations when you're trying to, you know, to take your business process, you know, in a different direction, whether you know, the data that you currently have supports that or whether better practices need to be in place. But as far as data management goes, you know, one of the terms you hear a lot is master data management. And, you know, if you think about what that is, you know, there's really two sides to it. But, you know, I find that quite a number of people really only think about one side of that, which is kind of the technology portion. You know, it's not really a problem that is solved solely by technology. Technology is kind of your vehicle. It's also important to take into account the management piece, which is having a good process in place, having the discipline around data governance. You know, there are companies that employ people in roles that are dedicated solely to the adherence of these policies. So, you know, the more you could dedicate to that, you know, the higher likely outcome is of success. You know, one other thing we commonly find is when companies make acquisitions, you know, they don't really have a good data strategy in place for how to reconcile the acquired company's data with their own. But at the end of the day, you know, good data management practices, the benefit is that it empowers your business to operate more efficiently.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Do you think that when people, you know, for example, the example you gave, you know, when you make an acquisition and people don't really have a good data strategy, Is that because they don't realize they need to have a data strategy and they're sort of like hoping that technology is magically going to fix it for them? Or is it just, you know, there's just too much going on and not everybody can think about everything?
Yeah, you know, I think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, going back to, you know, what I had said, not everyone really thinks of master data management in the terms of actually doing the management of the people rather than of the data, because there's a human element, you know, as far as keeping everything in line. But also, you know, these types of initiatives generally take you know, a good chunk of time and money, but they really are foundational. It's like they want to head out the door and go for a run before they put their sneakers on, almost. Probably just some over enthusiasm on their part.
Right. Yeah, because you want to get to the end goal, right? And then you bring in consultants like us, and we paint these beautiful pictures of what the end goal could be, which are all true, you know, but you do have to work a bit to get there. I was just thinking about, how about this for an analogy, right? And tell me if it's terrible. So if you think about a washing machine, like for doing your laundry, a washing machine as a piece of technology, and if you think about all your laundry as the data, if you don't manage your laundry and sort it into colored and whites and synthetics and cottons and so on, you could end up with a mess no matter how much you spent on a really, really good washing machine. Right?
Absolutely. And one of the main problems that mass data management would solve is inconsistencies of putting like with like. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Can you share some examples of the kinds of data issues some of the clients you've worked with are running into?
Sure. And I'll preface that by saying, quite often we'll actually be engaged with the customer, and they'll be totally unaware of some of the issues that we find in their data. So in other words, they have been operating all along unaware of, some of these underlying issues. But, some of the more common ones, I guess, we'd see are, data with missing pieces or just, incomplete records. It might, for instance, surprise a customer to learn that X percent of their sales records are missing a customer. Or, something that seems really, really simple. And all of this obviously falls under the umbrella of data management, as we just discussed. But one recent example I could remember is we had a customer who had, multiple data sources for sales. And, they were selling similar products across some of these data sources. They had some of their operating entities on one of these given sources. However, the yellow medium t-shirt might be labeled in system one as product 1, 2, 3, but it might be labeled in system two as product ABC. So reconciling that is quite challenging on a very grand scale when you're talking, in the hundreds of thousands of possible combinations. And that's, it would be a pretty large upfront effort, obviously, to bring all that into a common nomenclature. But once you can do that, then having those data strategies in place and the adherence to them can certainly help.
Yeah, no, those are great examples. And I think in some ways, maybe the way to look at it, maybe it's never been an issue before because they haven't tried to do anything with that data before, right? And sometimes you don't discover the gaps until it actually matters. I think that's not unusual even in life, right? I would imagine an example of a data strategy for this case would have two parts to it. Because sometimes people might say, oh my goodness, there's all this missing, all of these missing customer names in my sales data. Oh my goodness, it's going to take me forever to go back in history and fix it. But, I imagine an example of a strategy might be to say, okay, let's fix it for everything going forward. And then let's start working backwards, maybe prioritizing the things that matter most. And then once you break it up that way, then perhaps it becomes a more manageable kind of problem and an opportunity, frankly, to at the same time, perhaps, address some other things that are missing in the data.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about an overall strategy. And at the same time, you're fixing your customer issue, the same types of principles can be, once they're established, will drive data quality in general. And one other piece of it is that a lot of companies now are looking to do a lot more of that cross-functional planning analysis. Maybe this wasn't such an issue when those processes were a lot more siloed and, for example, they were doing demand planning out of system X and some other type of planning out of system Y, and, they didn't necessarily align. But now with all this integration, it really is a foundational step to be able to do that, effectively.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't have a goal in mind, right, you can't actually kind of even come up with a strategy to solve it, right? And in this case, if we're talking about, cross-functional or integrated business planning and breaking down silos in your planning, hopefully that goal is something that's going to deliver rewards that are far greater. It's one of those examples of like the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, right? Because of the qualitative benefits of that integration, if you can get there. So I guess I'm trying to say, I hope people will find it's worth the effort.
Yeah, and that's also a good call out. I've personally seen on some projects where, like as you said, it's good to have the end goal in mind, but sometimes I found that the roadmap isn't really laid out in a way that makes sense. They are sometimes putting the cart before the horse, with skipping over some of these foundational steps or trying to kind of do them concurrently, which, it might work, but there is an inherent risk of having to go back and, increasing your cost and timeline, if things don't work out.
So sometimes it's better to slow down in order to go faster, right? To sort of like take the trouble to make a little bit of a plan to have like intermediate goals on the path to the big goal that are achievable and manageable, and to knock them off and make sure you knock them off properly before you move on to the next one. Because the parallel work, I think, sometimes ends up in rework, especially if you suddenly discover there's a dependency between A and B that you're trying to do at the same time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That great examples, Mike. Thank you. So I know, Mike, that you are currently leading a guild, and we've talked to some other guild leaders from Qubit in other podcasts. So you're currently leading a guild at Qubit to define standard data models to help clients get a jump start on having a data strategy for some of the most common planning, reporting, and analysis use cases. So would you be able to tell us in layperson terms, that is less technical terms, what this is about and how this will help our clients? And do you have any advice for someone who wants to take their planning models to new levels of agility and accuracy with more data, but aren't really sure how to get started with the data side of things?
Sure. So what we're doing in our guild is building a standard data mart that we'll use to integrate with our planning and reporting solution. So what that does is it'll bring all the data that we need into a central location that can be from one to X number of sources, puts them into a standard format that can easily be consumed by the planning and reporting application. But but there's also a two-way communication. So, for example, if we're thinking about a consolidations project where we're mapping various charts of accounts to a common chart of accounts, traditionally that may require a call to someone on the IT team to say from the business saying, okay, I need this expense account mapped to account 6,000, for example. the planning and reporting solution puts that control in the hands of the business user without having to go through that cycle of communication, and can be pushed back into this data mart and therefore exposed to other reporting applications that a company may have. So, as a general statement, I would say, as far as agility and accuracy goes, putting more power into a business user's hands is extremely beneficial. But I'll also tie that back with the prior points we made, around the master data management and the processes and governance. There does have to be those controls in place. And once again, there is as much of a human element to that as there is a technology element. you know, technology really isn't the magic wand for any of that.
Right. But if we can sort of give people sort of like a framework that we know is going to work for their use case, because we do this all the time with lots of different customers. And if that framework includes both a sort of data model and data strategy framework, as well as a sort of a business process framework, then hopefully it saves everybody a lot of time, because we're kind of giving people almost a recipe that they can tailor to their own needs specifically, but at least the beginnings of a recipe, right? And that, you know, that we know works, that has been proven at other clients and customers. And it's just removes a lot of trying to figure things out from the equation, so that we can focus on our attention on what is unique and different and special for this particular client's business. I don't know if I kind of paraphrased that well enough, but that was an attempt. So is that kind of what we were trying to do, what we're looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. So the data itself is going to, you know, vary to a degree, from company to company, especially operational data. Financial data tends to be, you know, a bit more uniform, or quite a bit more uniform. But, you know, but regardless of the shape of that data, the same core principles should apply to the data strategy. It's just a matter of, you know, applying it to those various shapes of client data based on the challenges that they have.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to throw another one of my silly analogies at you, because they help me understand things. And so what I'm imagining here is that Qubits basically come up with a really great recipe for pizza. And it's a basic pizza that has a really great pizza crust. I personally like thin crust. So we're going to say the Qubit pizza has got a very thin crust, thin and crispy crust. And then it's got some tomato sauce or tomato sauce, and some, you know, some cheese or mozzarella or something like that on it. And so that's a kind of like a basic pizza recipe, a basic data strategy, a data model that we're bringing to a customer. But then once we get to the customer, it may turn out that, you know, they need some chili peppers on it, or they need some mushrooms, or they need some pineapple or ham, or not. Pineapple and ham can create a strong reaction, I find, in some people. But that's okay, because at that point, we don't have to worry so much about the great pizza crust or the base tomato sauce. We can focus on the things that are really special that the customer really needs to focus on to be competitive and successful.
Right. Yeah, right. No, I think that is a good analogy, because, you know, from the time we walk in the door, really, we know what those guiding principles should be. It's just a matter of, you know, having those conversations with the clients and getting, you know, our hands dirty with their data to see, you know, what their specific issues are. But yes, generally, they'll be solved in a similar fashion.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because if, you know, someone's doing financial planning, for example, then, you know, there's almost always an expense planning aspect and maybe a workforce planning aspect. And of course, they're different from company to company. And of course, the data sources are different, because different companies are using different ERPs and different HR systems and so on. But the general shape of the data is close enough, right? So we can save everybody a lot of time by coming in with that general shape in place, and then being able to free up time just to focus on everything around the edges, right?
Yes, absolutely. Agreed.
Okay, great discussion, Mike. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Glad I could be here.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Do stay in touch. You can email us at info@quebit.com. Or check out past episodes and transcripts at qubit.com/podcast. Until next time, take care.